There, do you have any idea what you're listening to?
London Philharmonic?
It's Venus.
Uh-huh.
Venus.
Why not? We've bounced signals off the moon's surface. There's no reason that Venus shouldn't radiate impulses.
I don't mean the static. Can't you hear it, the other thing?
What other thing?
Listen to it, Paul. Listen to the voice.
Hello and welcome to Media Geek. This is your weekly look at the world of grassroots, independent media, and a critical look at our media environment. My name is Maurice and I'm your host. Producer Drew Tirico is off. On today's program, independent theaters bring you independent movies, but also increasingly having to deal with the big chains. We'll be talking to Colleen Cook, who is the co-manager of Boardman's Art Theater here in downtown Champaign. We'll talk about what independent theaters are trying to do and how they're trying to survive. And of course, we'll bring you a wrap-up of the week in media news. Do stay tuned. Each week here on Media Geek, we bring you news headlines about our media environment. These are stories that don't make it into electronic media almost at all, and often are buried back in the business pages of our print and our newspapers. And that's because they're treated like business stories, not like stories that are important to our democracy. The television version of the daily progressive news program Democracy Now! Should be airing soon on Urbana Public TV. That's due to a tentative okay given by the Urbana City Council on November 22nd to changes in UPTV policies that will allow the acquisition and airing of series programming distributed by satellite. The council also endorsed a separate resolution directing Mayor Satterthwaite's administration to begin live weekday broadcasts of Democracy Now! On UPTV between 7 and 8 a.m. weekdays, starting no later than January 3rd. The council still has to give final approval to both of these resolutions at its December 6th meeting. The anticipated airing of Democracy Now! On Urbana's public access TV channel brings to a close a half-year-long effort to get the program on the air. Local resident Randall Cotton led the effort, which gained the support of the Urbana Public TV Commission, but not the mayor, who Cotton has accused of blocking the addition of Democracy Now! To UPTV's schedule. The TV version of Democracy Now! Airs on over 100 public access and broadcast stations across the U.S., in addition to Free Speech TV on Dish Network and Link TV on Dish and DirecTV. The radio version airs on hundreds of stations, including Champaign-Urbana's WEFT weekdays at 4 p.m. and Moscow, Idaho's KUOI weekdays at 8:30 a.m. Chicago's public access TV network, CAN TV, is facing opposition from Comcast Cable over a funding ordinance for the network that has the support of Mayor Daley's administration. If passed, the ordinance would require Comcast to increase the level of funding that it gives CAN TV from 58% to 65% of CAN's total budget. The ordinance achieves this boost by a small increase in the amusement tax paid by Comcast subscribers that amounts to less than $2 per year per subscriber. Comcast claims that the increase would put it at a competitive disadvantage with satellite TV, even though the company currently serves nearly 85% of pay TV subscribers in Chicago. The funding increase for CAN is necessary due to the failure of a small competing Chicago cable company to come through with required funding. Funding for Chicago Access Network is required under the franchise agreement contract between the city and its two cable companies. A vote on the funding ordinance was delayed until the Chicago City Council's December 1st meeting. The Federal Communications Commission just completed an auction for 258 FM broadcast licenses, netting the federal government over $147 million. Only one public or community broadcaster won an auction. Public radio station WGBH in Boston won an FM broadcast license for Cape Cod with a $3.9 million bid. The most expensive bid was won by College Creek Broadcasting for a station in Mesquite, Nevada, for $7.1 million. College Creek was the biggest spender in this auction, winning licenses in cities like Cheyenne, Wyoming, and the cities of Hazleton, Aberdeen, and Ashton in Idaho. An auction for a station in Troy, Idaho, 12 miles west of Moscow, was won by Pacific Empire Radio for just under $500,000. The most expensive bid in Illinois was for a station in St. Anne, Kankakee County, for over $2 million. The second most expensive license was for a frequency in Normal for just a little less than the one in St. Anne. Prior to the approval of Spectrum licenses by Congress, full-power FM broadcast licenses were free, save the costs of doing engineering surveys and obtaining legal counsel. However, after the Telecommunications Act of 1996, which removed the limit on the total number of stations any one company may own, the value of FM licenses on the open market skyrocketed, leading Congress to want to get in on the action. Now, new FM licenses in the commercial band will only go to the highest bidder. These licenses are only in small markets, since the nation's largest radio markets have almost no open frequencies left. The largest radio markets to gain a new station license in this auction were the cities of Canova, West Virginia, Waiheawa, Hawaii, and Pacific Junction, Iowa, all in regions with populations of about 200,000. The licenses in these markets were won for between $2 and $6 million. And that's a bit of what's going on in our media environment. You're listening to Media Geek. Coming up in just a moment, we'll be talking to Colleen Cook from Boardman's Art Theater. We'll be talking about independent theatrical display, in addition to many of the challenges facing independent theaters right now. And when you're not listening to us on the radio, you can check us out on the web, www.mediageek.org. You can also listen to programs archived online there in the MP3 and open source Ogg Vorbis format, in addition to reading news on the Media Geek blog. Do stay tuned. Welcome back to Media Geek. With me in the studio today is Colleen Cook. She is co-manager of Boardman's Art Theater in downtown Champaign. Thanks for joining me today, Colleen.
Thank you, Paul.
So maybe for people who've never been to the art theater, maybe you can tell us a little bit more about what this particular movie theater does and what distinguishes it maybe from the big multiplexes.
Well, we offer people in our community an opportunity to see films that they're very unlikely to see in other theaters. We offer independent, art house, and foreign films that are some of the finest that are available each year, and we offer them with excellent picture quality and one of the best sound systems in the state. And if you are someone who does appreciate films and seeing them as they're meant to be shown, there is a significant difference in the quality.
And so, how long have you worked for Boardman's Art Theater?
I've worked for it since we reopened over a year ago. We reopened with new management, so it's if you've been to it in the past, it's been completely done over, I guess, renovated. The seats are new, the sound system's new. It's a different experience.
And you say you try to bring art house and foreign films and the films that don't get to the multiplex quite so much. So, I mean, for example, what are some of these films?
For example, something that's coming up, we've got a film in December called Mulade, which is an African film on female circumcision, which a topic like that, chances are it wouldn't make it to a multiplex. But that doesn't mean that it's not an excellent film. In fact, it's a Cannes Award-winning film, and we're very excited about showing it. But topics that are not a little more controversial, perhaps, will not make it to a multiplex, but we're more than happy to show them in our theater.
Now, there are the theaters like Boardman's throughout the country, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you're not just alone in this sort of thing. But is this sort of a dying breed or an expanding breed?
It's really hard to say. In many ways, it's a dying breed because we're facing more and more competition as an independent theater with larger corporations and multiplexes trying to drive us out of business. At the same time, I think there's much more demand for alternative media, alternative films, independent films specifically. And so in that way, I think with the increase of demand, it's giving more opportunities and new life to these sorts of theaters.
So the theater's been reopened under this new management for about a year where you've worked. And I think for a lot of people, they didn't even realize that much had changed. Although I know this summer, you had very good luck with a couple of independent films that were also fairly popular nationwide. And one of those was Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 9/11.
That's correct.
So, I mean, that was very successful for the theater, mm-hmm. right? And probably brought a lot of people who hadn't heard of it before. But it's also true that it's actually not a film that played in many independent theaters.
No, this is absolutely true. It's something that the public probably doesn't think about very often. But, you know, a lot of these films that are made by directors that feel very strongly that are anti-corporation, anti-big business, they're still being distributed by larger companies that, you know, favor these big businesses and multiplexes. And in fact, for Fahrenheit, for its opening date, for its first release, there were very few theaters, very, very few theaters that were independent that received the print nationwide. And we were one of them.
Why were you one of them?
Because I personally am a fan of Michael Moore's films, and we had been harassing the distribution companies nonstop because we really felt strongly that, you know, this was an important film. There were many, many rumors of censorship. There was blatant censorship by Disney originally, and this is the kind of thing that people need to have the opportunity to see. And, you know, we felt strongly that it might be censored by other theaters in our area.
And by you say censored, there. Meaning they would refuse to carry it on the grounds of its political content.
Exactly. This was something that actually was true in our area. The theater chain in our area that is through Illinois and Iowa, the owner actually, even if their theater had a print of it, he banned their theaters from showing it.
I believe that's the GKC theater mm-hmm. chain?
That's correct. And so we were very lucky that we were able to get the print for our area, because otherwise people in our community would not have had the opportunity to see this film.
And did you talk to any other theater owners or any other theater managers who were trying to get their hands on this print?
Actually,
for Fahrenheit 9/11?
I was very, very surprised. One day in the theater, I received a call from an independent theater farther south. I believe it was Kentucky. And this theater owner had gone online and found out that we were one of the few independent theaters nationwide that hadn't been able to get a print. And this man was from an independent theater in his area, and he basically wanted to know, how did we do this? Because he was facing the same obstacles we were. So at that point, I realized, you know, even though this was one specific film, this is a much larger issue where independent theaters are being forced out of the market.
And so part of this has to do with the fact that the larger chains now and the multiplexes are showing what are often called independent or art house films when they used to sort of shun that whole genre of films.
Absolutely. And I think the most frustrating thing about it is, you know, independent and art house films, it's a very loose title nowadays. However, depending on the content, you know, some of them are appropriate for multiplexes and others are not. But when they drive out independent theaters out of town, when they take this forum out of the community's hands and it's no longer available, that means you do not get the opportunities to see the films that they won't want to show you.
Now, is the reason why, say, a theater like the Art Theater has difficulty getting prints, is it because these larger chains have a little bit more influence with distributors because they're already doing business for the bigger films, you know, the blockbusters, which say, the Art Theater has no interest in?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. I'd say one of the problems is, you know, like I said, where the multiplexes can pick and choose what they feel is appropriate content for consumers. That can also mean a film that they feel might be a blockbuster, you know, and a hit. For mm-hmm. example, we ended up picking Fahrenheit, which ended up becoming a hit. Had the multiplexes felt that this was going to be a moneymaker, they would have obviously taken it. So if a multiplex takes the films that they feel are going to do much better, then everybody else, independent theaters, get kind of the leftovers.
So they get first pick, essentially, is what you're saying.
In
many cases. So there are some distributors who you work with who maybe specialize much more only in independent features, and you have less of a hard time getting hold of their films.
Oh, absolutely. It's not by any means all distributors that favor large corporations, and it honestly does vary from region to region, whoever your distribution agent is at each particular distribution company. So it varies from the person, and their beliefs on filmmaking, essentially. Filmmakers make their film, spend just years of their life perfecting their film and how they want it shown and how they want it to be heard. And it's very frustrating, I imagine, to be a filmmaker and have it carted off to a place that's not going to respect those ideals.
Now, it's sort of another difference between, say, an independent theater. It's typically one or two screens, mm-hmm. right? And at Boardman's, you have one screen.
That's right.
And that sort of limits how many movies you can show. Mm-hmm. And so it seems that any given film that you would have has to perform a little better than, say, any given film at the multiplex, right?
I mean,
they can put the equivalent of a Fahrenheit 9/11 on one screen, while the next Star Wars iteration can have six screens. And if that one screen doesn't do too well, they're still making a mint on the Star Wars trilogy. Mm-hmm. But if you have a movie that's not doing particularly well, that's all you have for a certain amount of time. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And that's one of the difficult balances as an independent theater. And most independent theaters, I think, nationwide are dealing with the one or two screen dilemma, which is art and then also being a business, mm-hmm. and trying to survive. And it's a battle that we fight weekly. There are, of course, films that are more popular. For example, we had Motorcycle Diaries a couple weeks ago, which I found to be an excellent film artistically as well as a crowd pleaser in that regard. But then other weeks, we'll have one that, has a very specific audience and is not for everyone. But we still try to walk that fine line where we are still able to show art house films that are not for everyone, because it's still important to provide the community with an opportunity to see these films, because people don't realize that censorship as far as filmmaking is what you aren't getting to see. And that comes down to the theaters and what they're showing you.
And you are listening to Me, a Geek. This is your weekly look at the world of grassroots, independent media, and our media environment. My name is Paul Reeson. I'm your host. Our producer, Drew Tirico's on vacation today. And I'm speaking with Colleen Cook. She's the co-manager of Boardman's Art Theater, the independent movie theater in downtown Champaign, Illinois. We're talking a little bit about independent theaters, about this particular theater, and a little bit about the business of theaters and the business of showing films. Now, Boardman's owns more than one theater, correct?
Mm-hmm. He owns two.
Just two. And where's the second one?
The second one's in Hoopston. It's called the Lorraine Theater, and they actually have two screens there. So,
and in Hoopston's a much, much smaller town, and, mm-hmm. and the kind of town which these days generally is not going to have a movie theater, especially not one owned by a large chain.
Mm-hmm, that's correct.
So, and this is sort of like, just simply bringing films in many cases, mm-hmm. to a smaller town is kind of a public service, mm-hmm. since it's the kind of thing which is drying up, and it's certainly dried up in a lot of urban areas as well, especially in, say, places in urban Chicago or urban Detroit. And aside from having the art theater here in downtown Champaign, there are two other urban theaters, one in downtown Urbana and one in sort of the campus town, one in the campus town area, have closed in the last 10 years. There used to be a lot more, and I think maybe many people who've moved to Champaign-Urbana in the last 5 years or so don't realize there used to be many more movie theaters, not just the multiplexes up by the Meyer and up, by the mall or down in Savoy, but they used to be in campus town, in downtown Urbana, and downtown Champaign, showing sometimes art house films, and sometimes also more mainstream Hollywood movies. I remember seeing several before they went out of business or were closed down by their owners. And so what sort of things is the art theater trying to do Besides just showing, the art house films, so-called art house films, what are sorts of things you're trying to do to distinguish yourself from the multiplexes and also provide a service to the Champaign-Urbana community?
We do a lot of efforts that we really want to be a community theater that's a service to the community. So, for example, earlier this year, the documentary that was censored by UPTV, the VIA documentary, we were able to show that to an audience of over 180 people.
And so the VIA documentary, for people who don't know what VIA means, was the documentary made by Visionaries for Educating Youth and Adults, which documented the conduct of Champaign and Urbana police, both in the North End and in the Campustown area, to show the disparities in how people are being treated by police in Champaign-Urbana. And they brought that documentary was brought to Urbana Public TV, where it got seized by the Urbana Public TV by the Urbana Police Department, and was not allowed to be shown initially. And so you brought that to the art theater.
Yeah, and we did a free screening because we felt that this was absolutely relevant to censorship and media affairs in our community, and specifically independent theater. So we felt obligated to provide this service for the community, and we were very excited that we were able to. Something we've got going on in December is LunaFest, which is a women's film festival that is films made by, for, and about women, which is really, really exciting. We're thrilled to have it. It's going to be just a one-day event, and the proceeds go to Planned Parenthood and Breast Cancer Awareness, and that's a local Planned Parenthood, so it's specifically affecting women in our community.
Now, are you putting together this film fest?
We're doing it together with Planned Parenthood. LunaFest is a traveling nationwide film festival, and it's of short films that are made by women and are generally focused around women's themes, which is something that is very rare in films today.
Have you had any other sort of special events? Maybe even things are maybe a little less political, or more fun. Mm-hmm. I know it seemed like you were doing some horror movies.
Yeah, we also did. We did a special Midnight Madness, which was a local horror filmmakers. These two guys in town, and we did a midnight series where their trilogy was shown, and it was a great amount of fun. We had excellent turnout because I think that the community realizes that you have to support art in your community in order to cultivate it and continue to make sure that we have a culturally diverse community that has arts available to them. And it was really exciting.
So, Colleen, why do you work for the art theater?
There's a number of reasons. Because I feel very strongly that film is art. I consider it a very specific medium. And independent filmmaking is... it's not Hollywood filmmaking, where the directors do take the time and on their soundtracks and on their picture quality. And I am very, very pleased to work in a theater that presents film as art, where the quality is correct and people can appreciate film in that regard. I also feel very strongly about working for Mr. Boardman because he does not attempt to censor films in any regard as far as what films we bring to the theater. And I really appreciate that, especially considering the climate we live in now, that more and more often films and subject matters are censored from the public.
And what's your background with film?
I am also a filmmaker, I guess you could say. I focus on documentary filmmaking, and with a focus on subjects like social justice and human rights that generally don't make it into discussion. So I'm very happy to be at a theater that supports that sort of environment for filmmakers.
And have you seen community support of the art theater increase over the last year that you've worked there?
Yes, actually I have. We have several regulars that, will be there no matter what. And it's very exciting because I think many, many people that come to the theater now know that these would not be films that they would think they would be interested in, but they know we weren't going to bring, a poor quality film there. There's a reason why we bring each and every film we bring to our area. And it's very exciting to see, these core group in our community come out time after time and see these films and be educated on these subjects that, they may not have thought about previously. So that's, I really enjoy that.
It sounds like the films are chosen very carefully.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it sounds like you make effort to choose films that you believe have some integrity to them. You know, be it artistic, be it just overall crafting, or be it in subject matter, you know, or any combination of these things. I guess there must still be a temptation, though, to try and get films at times that just seem as though, you know, that are going, they're making the art house circuit, but also seem to be doing very well.
Mm-hmm. Of course. I guess one thing to keep in mind, though, is these art house films and these independent films that are breakout films, there's a reason for it. It's because it's good filmmaking. And we wouldn't show a film because it's going to be a moneymaker if it were not a good film. And that's what it comes down to for us.
Which is different than I think the multiplex.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. We're really excited. In spring, we're going to have House of Flying Daggers, which is by the same director of Hero, and we have the trailer for it already, and it's going to be just phenomenal. And this is going to be one of those films that, of course, is going to be up for many Oscars, and it's going to do very well nationally. But it's also going to be a beautiful film that's very well made, and that's the reason we're getting it.
So what are you hoping to see at the theater? Are there any goals that you personally have in mind?
Personally, I would hope to reach out to more members of the community. One of our biggest obstacles right now is advertising and being able to reach the community, because one of the other clever difficulties that we have when dealing with distributors is if they say, we're going to hold out and wait until to see whether the multiplexes would like the film before you. So if we get notice on a film the week before, where advertising wouldn't affect a multiplex as much, it's very difficult to get the word out at the art theater. So we have to go more grassroots, which is flyering. We have a website, which is boardmansarttheater.com. We also have an email list. But I really would like to try and reach out to the community more and get the information out, you know, that these films are coming. Like, for example, last week we had Yes Men. The movie was phenomenal. It was excellent. And I really was frustrated with that because we had very little notice on it. And I felt like more community members would have liked to seen it.
So you get notice so late in some cases where you've missed ad deadlines for things like the alternative weeklies, or even, say, to get into, like, the News Gazette entertainment section?
Absolutely. And that would also be as far as getting critics to review the films. Most of our films in local reviews and national reviews are 3 to 4 stars. I think we maybe have had one film in the history of the art theater that has done poorly as far as getting maybe 2 stars.
But people reading the reviews in the paper or in the alternative weeklies seems to really help bring an audience.
Oh, absolutely, especially with independent and art house or foreign films where people might not have heard of it before. You know, we're bringing some films that are cutting edge, and, you know, a lot of times a lot of the big hype happens after we get them because we're reading ahead. We're trying to find out what films we think the community is going to want to watch.
And are you networking at all with other independent theaters?
A little bit. It's kind of difficult because the independent theaters really are few and far between. We do work together in smaller ways. When the projector goes crazy, you know, somebody will come and help us out, or we'll come and help them out, or they need popcorn bags, so we'll go send them. So, I mean, it's on a much more, we appreciate their work, they appreciate ours, and we're a dying breed.
Sounds a lot like the community radio world. We come together, you know, to help one another, but it's often very difficult to have this day-to-day conversation, and a lot of that's just simply because I'm sure, you know, it's like it is here at a theater, you only have so much time, and then the people who work there are already probably doing a lot more tasks or a lot more varied tasks than someone would at a multiplex.
Oh, absolutely. I think in many ways I wish that there was more community between the independent theaters, because like I said, as a group, we have many more obstacles as far as getting films.
All right, Colleen, thank you very much for speaking with us. That brings to a close another edition of Media Geek. We'll be back in 1 week with more news and views on our media environment. In the meantime, check out Media Geek on the web at www.mediageek.org. There you can read the Media Geek blog for news that can't fit onto the show, as well as download archive episodes of the program in MP3 in the open-source Ogg Vorbis format. If you have any comments about the program, please send them to paul@mediageek.org. I'm host and executive producer Paul Riesmandel. Our producer is Drew Tirico. Media Geek is produced live at community radio station WEFT in Champaign, Illinois. Some pre-production happens at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center. Media Geek is also heard on KRFP, Radio Free Moscow in Moscow, Idaho, and on KQRP in Salida, California. And Media Geek is free to broadcast on your local non-commercial station, too. To inquire, please send email to paul@mediageek.org. Thanks for tuning in.